Hello and all, welcome to Mark Langdon's Bet Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. The frantic festive period is over, kind of. It's on to FA Cup action this weekend. Really looking forward to previewing all of that with Mark Langdon. We'll have Dan Childs to join us later on in the show as well. Mark, let's have a quick recap of that festive period. It's always so frantic, so hard to keep up with. We'll go through the biggest winners and losers, I guess, of that period in the Premier League. We'll start with the biggest loser. Who came out of it badly?
It's got to be Arsenal, hasn't it, really? I know it's sort of the obvious answer there. I mean, it started okay, didn't it? Was it on the 23rd? They scored very early on at Anfield. And you know, I think they were happy enough with a point, but that point's only really worthwhile if you can then go and back it up with two easier games. They, of course, lost to West Ham. You know, West Ham are capable of doing that. You know, sitting in, was it 30-odd shots? And, you know, Arsenal just got done, really, in that game. I thought the Fulham performance was more alarming. You know, you kind of expect and need a reaction if you're going to sort of really go on and win the league, I think. And again, got the early goal in that game, but really faded. You know, I think that the Arsenal fans are, well, not all of them, but some of them are complaining about the style and that they've actually gone backwards and in trying to be more, I suppose, solid. They've lost just that spark that they had last season. And, you know, Martinelli's not been at it to the same standards. I think Saka is tired now. Obviously, sort of got potential issues up front. I've never thought that Nketiah was the answer. I think he's third choice striker for Arsenal. I don't think he should be second choice. Of course, when Gabriel Jesus when Arsenal win, people talk about Jesus's, you know, importance to the team and the way that he links it. When they don't win, they say they need a sort of new number nine. I don't necessarily think that they do need that sort of, you know, £100 million, £80 million striker. I think they need more from their midfield, actually, and possibly even to rotate out Saka and Martinelli on a few more occasions, because it's hard work. Last year, they didn't have the Champions League. They had the Champions League this season, and I think they're feeling the pinch.
Is there a risk, Mark, that kind of expectation just runs away with you a little bit? Because you look a couple of seasons back and, you know, the expectation for Arsenal certainly isn't what it is now. And it is a relentless league and you've got teams in there that have a seemingly limitless pot of cash to go at. I mean, are they kind of where they deserve to be?
That's a fair question. I mean, the 5 points off Liverpool. So I feel like this is a new Liverpool team, isn't it? And Arsenal have been building towards this, and maybe expectations were raised too much last season. You know, they were 50-1, weren't they, at the start of last season, and did really well to finish second. And you can argue whether, you know, they should have gone on and won it. I still think if you're 50-1 and you finish second, you've had a good season. But then they've added, you know, spent a lot of money, added £100 million player in Rice. So I don't think they should be going backwards. And and Ray has come in to replace Ramsdale. I think Arteta has basically got everything he wanted, hasn't he, in terms of, you know, signings. And so they don't look any better to me than last season. So I would say that they possibly should be doing, you know, better. I mean, yeah, I think they should be doing better with the money they've spent.
Yeah, no, fair point. If Arsenal the big losers, then who will look back on this period with fondness?
Well, I mean, again, I suppose it depends in terms of where the obvious answer is Liverpool, because they're 3 points clear at the top, and they're 5 points ahead of Manchester City. I do want to just do a shout out for Wolves, though, who I think of, you know, they're tucked away in mid table, so you know, not probably going to be getting involved in anything from a top sort of 4-6 point of view. They're around about 66-1, 80-1 for the FA Cup. I'm not actually going to tip them. We'll get onto that a bit later, but I might give them an honorary mention in terms of that market. But over Christmas, if you remember, on the 17th of December, they went to West Ham, lost 3-0, didn't put in any type of performance, really. Goalkeeper was missing. Dan Bentley came in, didn't cover himself in glory. They then, first half against Chelsea, I thought they were sort of outplayed. But they came back, they won that game 2-1. Then they went to Brentford, won 4-1. And they've absolutely battered Everton 3-0. In the last game, can't remember. Don't ask me what day it was because I've got no idea. But Everton didn't have a shot on target. You know, we're seeing. I don't think the squad's massive, and I was one of those that maybe expected Wolves to struggle this season, and fully hold my hands up. Got it wrong. You know, I look at some players within that team. I think I really like Cunha, a kind of unique forward, really, in the way that he dribbles. With the ball, Gomez in midfield looks absolutely top player. You know, Kilman has been linked, hasn't he, with a few sort of bigger spending teams, but he's remained. Ait Nouri on the left-hand side is a player that I like as well. Huang, inconsistent, but he's definitely scoring goals this season. And, yeah, I think Gary O'Neill can be really proud of the job he's done. So, you know, I think the obvious answer is Liverpool, but... you know, we have got to speak about Arsenal and Liverpool soon enough anyway. So I thought it was a good time to shout out Wolves.
Absolutely. I think people forget as well, don't they, Mark, that the chaos that he kind of walked into. I mean, it was all very much up in the air when he got that job. And he kind of highlighted that on his appearance on Monday Night Football a month or so ago. It was he was hardly walking into it to a clean slate. It was very much turbulent.
It was. Yeah. I mean, not much money around. Obviously, manager quitting on the eve of the season is rarely good news. I didn't think they'd be relegated, but I certainly expected them to be down there. I would have definitely had them as relegation sort of candidates, because of the fact that Burnley, I expected to do better. I thought Luton and Sheffield United would struggle. And I thought Wolves would be down there all season. And they're clearly not much better than that. They've taken a number of big scalps at home. They've probably been on the wrong end of decisions, I'd say, more than most teams as well this season. And yeah, I don't think Gary O'Neill was first choice for many Wolves fans when he walked through the door, but he's certainly showing he's up to the job. There's no doubt about that. And like I say, they're around about 80-1 to win the FA Cup. And I without spoiling Dan Childs' selections later on, I know that he likes Wolves to beat injury here at Brentford. And, you know, if they do get past Brentford, suddenly it might open up for them. So, yeah, they're definitely one for the shortlist, I think.
Absolutely. One man that could take some lessons off Gary O'Neill is Wayne Rooney, Mark. It's been a really problematic couple of months for Birmingham City. They were flying under John Eustace. They decided to part ways and bring in Wayne Rooney, a big name. And much like Frank Lampard and Steven Gerrard, who've struggled in terms of managerial roles of recent times, Rooney's the latest on that list. Just a horror show of a few months for him at Birmingham.
Yeah, we tried to change the style. Not sure the players were up to it. I thought he was walking into a tricky job because Eustace had done, as you said, had done very well. They slightly overachieving probably, and there was likely to be some kind of natural regression, I think, anyway. And yet he's gone in and, you know, he stunk the place out. And the fans were never really on his side, I don't think. And even the ones that were prepared to give him, the kind of opportunity quickly turned. I think from sort of Birmingham's point of view, it was a shocking appointment. And I think that what happens here is, and there were lessons to be learned maybe from what happens with Frank Lampard, in that if you do well or perceive to do well, like they're just going to jump ship straight away. They're not going to build anything long term because, you know, if Rooney does, imagine Rooney does well at Birmingham, he'd probably been linked with the Man United job, straight away, or Everton. And if he does badly, he's going to set you back 6 months or a year. So I always, I speak this as a Spurs fan who kind of has lived through this with Antonio Conte in the not too distant past. Like, I think you need somebody at your level who sort of thinks about you for the long term rather than, just a big name that kind of satisfies whether it's the ownership or social media or the fan base for a short period. That's not really, I don't think, going to get you success in any way, shape or form.
Absolutely. Hear, hear. Attention turns to the FA Cup this weekend. Let's get into Mark's outright selection now.
Members Club is now available on the Racing Post app. All Members Club subscribers can now access premium news and tips anytime, anywhere. Plus, if you're not already a member, you'll get 50% off your first 3 months. If you haven't already subscribed yet and want to join the greatest club in racing, simply visit racingpost.com/subscribe.
Yeah, really excited for this weekend. Let's figure out from a broad standpoint, Mark, who you like for this year's tournament. I will read out the top of the market and we'll go through it. Man City, the obvious favourites, 5-2. Chelsea 9-1. United 9-1. Arsenal 10s. Newcastle 11-1. Liverpool 12s. Spurs 14s. Brighton 16-1. Bigger the rest. Arsenal, Liverpool have got each other. So one of the big guns will be exiting, hence the prices, Mark, which makes it a really competitive market up the top there. From that top section, I know you like one at a bigger prize. Who catches the eye the most?
Yeah, I mean, it's a brave punter that backs Arsenal or Liverpool, seeing as they've got each other. And I think even whoever goes through, it's just sort of bigger fish to fry this season. Arsenal are in... Champions League and sort of whether it's Premier League title race or top four battle, either way, you know, they've got it all on. Liverpool title race, they're in the semi-final with the League Cup. I think the FA Cup's probably third or fourth on their priority list, depending on where the Europa League drops. So I'd be ruling out those two on that basis. Manchester United, just way too inconsistent. Wouldn't be going for them. Spurs have got injury and suspension problems, might become, and also selection problems with likes of Son away at the moment in the Asian Cup. They might become runners if they can get through the next two rounds, but I think they've got a battle on really to get it to round five because there's two rounds of action before the AFCON and Asian Cup players return. Manchester City, obvious favourites, but they've got some work to do, haven't they, in terms of the Premier League this season. So... I'm not expecting sort of Pep Guardiola to take too many chances with team selection. And we've seen when, like, Rodri's not there, massive issue for them. Mm. Haaland and De Bruyne have had a couple of injury problems. So, look, I wouldn't want to be laying City, but I just think at the prices, really, I can just let them win if they're going to do it at 3-1. And so, I'm looking further down the list. I mean, Aston Villa... I could definitely give them a shout. But towards the top of the market, I actually thought that Chelsea, we've seen what they can do in big games this season. They've played well at home against Arsenal, against Man City and against Liverpool. They've won at Tottenham. So I'm expecting them to improve. They're young teams, so they've got lots of scope to get better. I think with Nkunku, Reece James, if he can ever get fit, Chilwell. Yeah, there are players to come back and maybe reasons why they've started slowly. I look at the sort of talent pool that they've got available and I think of the... and they've got Preston at home in the third round, which should be very winnable. No European commitment. So at the sort of top of the market, it would probably be Chelsea. But I think that there is some juice elsewhere as well, Jack.
Well, let's talk about that, Mark, because you'd given an honourable mention to Wolverhampton Wanderers, but you alluded to that them not being the selection. So if we're going for something at a bigger price, who's your pick this year?
Oh, the pick of the cherries, Bournemouth, around about 66-1. They're in great form at the moment. Started the season slowly under Iraola, and I think that again that there were excuses for that. If you have a look at why they started slowly, it was because they were trying to do something that the players didn't understand. If Dominic Solanke gave a great interview in The Times saying he didn't know what was expected of him. I mean, he really had no idea what sort of Iraola wanted him to do from a kind of, the trigger pressing point of view. But, and they also, if you go back to it, if you remember, they had an absolutely like horrific sort of run of fixtures early on in the season. We're playing big team after big team and it wasn't working for them. And then As the fixtures got easier, they started to win a couple of games. Then they got their confidence up. And in the last couple of months, there aren't too many teams playing better than Bournemouth. I saw them with my own eyes at the sort of Tottenham Stadium at White Hart Lane last week. They lost the game 3-1, but it was never a 3-1 game. First half, they were all over Tottenham for most of that game. I think it was Solanke had about 8 chances, didn't score. But apart from scoring, he did everything well. Posed such a threat. People are talking about Ivan Toney and he might go in the January transfer window. For the Bournemouth bet, I'm hoping that the Dominic Solanke stays. When Alex Scott came off the bench, scored a goal, was dangerous every time he got on the ball. They're so aggressive in the way that they play. They're a difficult team to cope with. And, they have started to kind of beat bigger teams. I know that Manchester United and Newcastle not in the best of form at the moment, but they've sort of taken both of them to the cleaners. They drew with Aston Villa. Like I say, they played well in defeat at Tottenham. So I think that they're in sort of just great nick at the moment. They've got, I think it's 1 or 2 players away at AFCON, but nothing that should sort of cause them issues in the third round game away to QPR. They're going to need a bit of luck in the draw, but I don't think anybody will enjoy it if they have to go to the Vitality. And they're playing with such, I suppose, freedom and positivity at the moment that they just might be a dangerous team, Bournemouth. And as I said at the start of the season, Jack, when I was tipping Bournemouth on the handicap and for a top 10 finish, like, this is not little old Bournemouth. They're spending money. When they brought in Areola, that was a sign of them really wanting to sort of take that next step. And people felt that they were maybe stepping above their grade. But I actually think that the Bournemouth believed they could be the next Brighton, the next Brentford. And I really like what they're doing.
Yeah, plucky little Bournemouth no longer. So themselves and Chelsea, the outright selections for Mark Langdon for the FA Cup. Let's take a look at some of the headline fixtures this weekend. Right then, let's take a spin through some of the main fixtures. I was going to say this weekend, it all starts on Thursday, doesn't it? Between Palace and Everton, Mark. This should be an interesting one. How are we playing it?
Yeah, so I mean, not much between them in the prices. I'm going to go for Everton, draw no bet. I think Elise being out for Palace is huge. Like, when him and Eze play together, I just fancy Palace to do things in the attacking third. And when one of them's not playing, it's difficult. So, Everton were disappointing, I thought, at Wolves last week, really. A no-show from them. And then I had a look and sort of was, because I backed Everton in that game. And he sort of, what did I do wrong? What did I miss from that sort of saw them put in such a shocking performance? And the excuse I came up with for them was that they had such a tough run of games. They played 8 games in December and they were matches against Man City, Newcastle, Chelsea, Tottenham. I just wonder if they ran out of gas at Molineux, really. So the rest from sort of Saturday to Thursday just enables them, I think, to go again. I'm expecting Everton to make changes because obviously they're in the relegation battle. But Roy Hodgson isn't usually up for the cup either. You do remember me having a moan at him for that team he picked at Old Trafford in the League Cup earlier on in the season. I had no idea why he did that. Maybe he will play full strength. But if it's sort of mix and match for both, I thought Everton draw no bet was the way to go.
Okay, let's take a look at the Friday night game between Tottenham and Burnley. As a Spurs fan, Mark, are you still one of those that fancies a cup run?
All the Spurs fans fancy a cup run. We've not won the FA Cup since 1991. That was the last time we reached the FA Cup final as well. So, a generation of fans not having seen Spurs in an FA Cup final when they won it. I think they were the record holders back in 1991. So, this is a big, big deal for Spurs. No doubt about that. The nervousness comes from the fact that obviously the AFCON players, Sarr and Bissouma, were suspended anyway. But Son, is going to be a big loss. And they've picked up other injuries as well at the moment. So it's not a full strength team for this third round game. And if they get through against Burnley, they're probably going to have to sort of work with a makeshift team in round 4 as well. I think they probably will get through against Burnley. Wouldn't be backing them at short prices, though, just because of, you know, the players that they've got out, you know, both centre-backs, and, you know, not sure who they're going to risk in midfield. I thought over 3.5 goals at 11-8 might be the way to go. Three of Tottenham's last six at home have featured at least four goals, and they still are blessed, I suppose, in attack. Richarlison, Brennan Johnson, Kulusevski, Lo Celso. There should be enough quality there, I think, to rack up a few goals. And Baia is a big miss for Burnley, the defender. He's likely to be out. And Burnley, I expect them to play the way that they usually do. You know, they had a good go at Aston Villa last week and came out on the wrong end of that one, 3-2. There were a lot of goals in the league fixture between these two teams. And yeah, I just saw it as being one of those end-to-end games that Tottenham probably win 3-1.
An entertaining fixture on Friday night. Now, this Saturday early game looks to be a cracker. I bet in a season where Newcastle had Champions League football, they didn't expect an FA Cup third round fixture to be their biggest game of the season. They travel to Sunderland. Really excited for this one, Mark. How do you see it going?
I thought Newcastle, around about 8 to 11, 4 to 5, was fair enough price. I know they've sort of stunk the place out recently, and, you know, with the XG of Liverpool was over 7, wasn't it, in that game on some models at Anfield on New Year's night. But they are playing, you know, that was one thing playing against Liverpool. I mean, it's another thing playing, I know it's a local rivals that they're playing, but Sunderland, not been overly impressed with them, I have to say. I mean, they lost to Bristol City recently and Coventry. They drew with Rotherham. Watched a game against Preston on New Year's Day. And Mick Beale's side didn't, yeah, they didn't really do much for me in that game either. And Newcastle have started to get back some of their players. So I'm not seeing too many excuses now for Eddie Howe. He needs to get something from this game. He, you know, if he goes out to Sunderland, then he's got a lot. I still think he's got a lot of sort of local backing, and fans are prepared to give him sort of the time to turn it around there. If they lose to Sunderland, that becomes a whole new ball game. So I'm expecting Newcastle to be absolutely at full tilt, and then being the Premier League team, they should be able to get the job done at just a shade of odds on.
Yeah, should be a spicy one, that one. Let's move on to the Saturday evening fixture between Middlesbrough and Aston Villa. How are you playing this?
Aston Villa to win and both teams to score. I suppose there's more chance of Middlesbrough rotating. They've got the League Cup semi-final against Chelsea, haven't they, on Tuesday, which is a bigger deal for them. But they have scored in 24 of their last 28 games. I know most of those are against Championship opponents. This is a Premier League team. The high line of Aston Villa, this will be interesting, won't it? I'm assuming VAR is not being used here. And I think they've used that to their advantage this season, Aston Villa, those tight offside calls. They might not be able to do that. But the other thing I was looking at was just that Aston Villa's record domestically in the Cups under Unai Emery not being great. I mean, they were knocked out by Stevenage last season and thrashed at home by Everton as well in the League Cup earlier on in the campaign. So, I was sort of looking at Villa to win the Cup, and then those things put me off. I do think that they should get past Middlesbrough at the Riverside, but if Villa are resting one or two and rotating a couple of their defenders, I'm not sure if the backup guys are good enough at the moment to keep a clean sheet.
Yeah, Middlesbrough almost put them in a similar bracket to Sunderland. Could look really good on their day, and another day sort of stink the place out. Sunday, early evening, this is the big one in the third round, Arsenal against Liverpool. We mentioned them both earlier, and you said that they've probably got bigger, not concerns, but fish to fry at the moment. Who will come out on top here?
Yeah, I did the second time we've mentioned fried fish. I haven't had cod in ages. I really fancy it now.
Had some on, what did I, New Year's Day, actually.
Oh, well
New Year's
done.
Day before the Norwich game. Yeah, it was absolutely delightful. Nice.
Really, yeah. I might need to get some before I go Spurs-Burnley on Friday. So in this game, sorry, you've taken me away there. I'm going to go for Arsenal to win at around about 11 to 10. They've got a full week off. So obviously we're heading into this Premier League break, aren't we, at the sort of next weekend, where half the teams play, half of them don't. So I think Arsenal, I suppose, need this game, really, need this win. They won't want to go out of the FA Cup. And the fact that they've got some time off afterwards, I think, means they can go full tilt and then and then take a breather. Liverpool have got a League Cup semi-final on Wednesday, so any rotation, I mean, is more likely in this game than it is on Wednesday from Jurgen Klopp. There's no Salah anyway, and they've got a league title to win. So I mean, this is a good opportunity for Arsenal to stop the rot and move into the fourth round of the FA Cup.
Just quickly before we get on to the final game, we'll be previewing, Mark. Obviously, we've got the AFCON and the Asia Cup coming up. Out of I guess, the top six, seven, which of those will be affected the most by that?
I would say, I think Salah's absence is crucial because he's obviously a world-class talent. But they have got sort of other players, haven't they, with Jota and Gakpo that can come in and fill for them. So on that basis, like, you wouldn't say that, say, Spurs have got that, would you, with Son? Tottenham haven't got that Jota or Gakpo that can come in. So that one player in terms of the Asia Cup, and Pap Sarr has also been an important player for them. So that's probably the main reason why Tottenham weren't in the list to win the FA Cup, because they've got to get through two rounds without those players. And, they're going to need some luck in the draw if they get past Burnley, you know, to get a nice, easy home game, maybe, and then get round to round five, it becomes a different ball game. But I think I would say probably sort of Son's a bigger miss than Salah, even though Salah, you know, is absolute world class, as we saw against Newcastle. Just further down, we're going to mention them at various points, but Brentford, Vissa has gone away and Buemo is injured. And like, Ivan Toney comes back in the middle of January but hasn't played for a number of months. So they are going to need Toney to come back and be at the level that he was before his absence. Now, maybe he will be, but given they've got other injuries, Rico Henry being one, like, I think Brentford are probably the team I'd fear most for at the moment over that AFCON Asian Cup period, unless Toney comes back in fine form, but he might even get sold. So, Brentford might be a team to oppose.
And you haven't mentioned, Mark, the player I'm sure you were most concerned about going away with your anti-post betting predictions, and that of Sam Morsy, Ipswich Town, who just refused to go, and he won't be joining up with the Egypt national team. So I'm
well done,
sure
Sam.
You're delighted to see
yeah.
that.
Yeah, he's quite rightly putting club before country.
Absolutely. Let's finish things off then before we chat to Dan Charles with a preview for Wigan against Manchester United. What's your way into this one?
Well, I thought it was absolutely hilarious, wasn't it, that there was that big report came out yesterday that Onana has been cleared to play not only in this game, but also against Spurs. And, you know, I think there were some people suggesting that was a boost for, you know, for Tottenham, and Ten Hag just can't catch a break. I'm going to go for draw half-time Manchester United full-time on the double result. United's last four away games have all been 0-0 at the break. Obviously, you know, they're sort of dropping down in grade significantly to play Wigan. And Wigan are not in great nick themselves either. But, yeah, they just don't seem to start games on the front foot, do they, Manchester United? Very rarely. And so even when they're sort of against the League One team, might take them a while to get the breakthrough. Ultimately, there's such a big class differential. You would expect the Red Devils to see it out and be able to win. But they're long odds on, and I've no real desire to back them or put them in accumulators or anything like that.
Okay, great stuff, Mark. Let's catch up with Dan Charles, see how he's viewing this weekend. If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets, and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets. Yeah, not only FA Cup action this weekend, we've of course got a little bit of EFL goodness as well. Dan Charles joins us, our resident EFL guru. Dan, as always, we'd like to start looking at a team that's maybe on the up, doesn't have to be, of course. Who are we going with this week?
I'm going to go with a team that are on the up at the moment, although they're near towards the bottom of League One, Cheltenham. Looked absolutely dead and buried early in the season. Got into October without actually scoring a league goal. And the really, you'd have kind of written them off at that stage. They got 1 point, I think, from their first 10 games, 1 point from 9 games before Daryl Clark came in right towards the end of September. And since Daryl Clark's gone in there, they almost immediately their performances started to improve, started scoring some goals and started picking up points. I mean, you look at 15 games he's been in charge. I mean, from having 1 point from 9 games, they've got 19 points from the 15 games under Clark, which is a massive improvement. Scored 17 times, as I mentioned before, they hadn't even scored a goal before then. And he'd always said, Clark, when he came in, that, you know, if we can get anywhere in touch once the January transfer window opens, then he would fancy their chances of staying up. I mean, their odds, they had gone as short as 1 to 12 to go down at one point. They're now 4 to 7, which I think is probably still a little bit short. They're only 3 points adrift of safety. Clark has said that he's going to be targeting a few experienced players in the January window. I think if he gets the right ones, I can see them, you know, maybe pulling out of trouble. They lost on New Year's Day against away to Northampton, who have been one of the form teams in the division, but they won the shot count there, 13-9, you know, against a team, as I say, been going really, really well. I can see them being competitive right to the end of the season and possibly surviving.
Yeah, it's amazing what a good head coach can change, isn't it? Obviously, a mix of EFL and FA Cup this weekend, Dan. It's always a chaotic weekend. We'll get into your tips now. Three, as always. Who is your headline selection?
You're going to start off with the All Premier League clash between Brentford and Wolves on the Friday night. I can't believe the Wolves' price here. I mean, they're around 2-1 to win this game. I mean, they're foremost. They're the only team to win the last 3 games in the Premier League. You know, fantastic form over the festive period, up to 11th in the Premier League. They're actually closer in points now to the top four than they are to the relegation zone. So, and I like to sort of target teams at the start of the FA Cup who don't look like they're at any risk, really, of relegation. They can have a real crack, really, at the FA Cup Wolves. Losing Hwang Hee-chan is, I mean, he's been a big player for them. He's gone off to the Asian Cup. That is a blow for them. But Pedro Neto has recently come back from injury, come off the bench in the 3-0 win at home to Everton. So that's a big boost that could, you know, possibly account, you know, even that out a little bit. And Brentford, I mean, they're low on confidence, 5 defeats in a row. They've got at least 10 players out for this game, a mixture of injuries, suspensions, players gone to the African Nations Cup. And some of them players are really key, from Brian and Buomo missing, Ivan Toney missing, Johan Wisser missing. So there's very little left there for them, you know, in an attacking sense. You know, they're favourites for this game. I would take issue with that, and I would be backing Wolves at 2-1.
Yeah, seems a big price. That Wolves up first. Who's next?
I'm going to another FA Cup tie, not quite as glamorous. Newport at home to Eastleigh. I'm going to go for an upset here. Eastleigh, I think, can at least take it to a replay. So Eastleigh or draw, double chance, a shade of odds against. Eastleigh, National League side, they won 2-1 at home to League One Reading in the last round. That was shown on television, and they played pretty well in that game. Reading did leave a few players out, brought some of them on in the second half, but it was a good performance from Eastleigh. Paul McCallum, who's been there on fire striker for them this season, he got both of their goals. He's got 22 goals for them in the National League as well. I think started out at West Ham, ex-West Ham youth player, but he's having an amazing season for them. They're going pretty well at the moment. They're mid-table in National League 11th, but they've only had 2 defeats in 11 in all competitions. And they're heading to Newport, who they're 18th in League 2 at the moment, have been operating with quite a small squad, hit by injuries for a lot of the campaign. That got a bit worse before New Year's Day when Omar Bogle, he got a muscle strain, striker for them, physical striker. He's out for the next 2 months. The game at Sutton on New Year's Day, they drew 1-1 against a side that have been struggling all season. So they're not in the greatest of form at the moment, Newport. They had 2 bites of the cherry they needed to knock out Barnet in the last round, another National League team. They're odds on to win this game. I can't have them at odds on. I think Eastleigh or draw double chance is a value bet.
Yeah, always good fun to see which and where the upsets will be, Eastleigh or draw on the double chance market. Who's the third and final pick this week?
The League Two bet, going to go with Bradford at home to Crawley in an all mid-table clash. I mean, you'll know, Jack, that I like Crawley at the start of the season. They were the team that I fancied to, they were expected to be battling against the drop, and it doesn't surprise me that they're up to the middle of the table, but I think they're going to struggle in this game. Bradford, one of the form teams in League Two at the moment, they've gone 6 league games unbeaten until a 1-0 loss away to Crewe on New Year's Day, but that was a harsh result for them. They won the shot count 16-4 in that match against a team that are inside the playoffs. So they're going really well now, Bradford under Graham Alexander. It wouldn't surprise me if they ended up finishing in the playoffs. Crawley, they're kind of inconsistent, but they're certainly a lot stronger at home than they are away. They've had 3 wins out of 12 league games away from home, Crawley. So I just think this is, at the moment, this is probably one of the tougher away trips, Bradford away in League Two. I think Crawley may struggle. So Bradford at a shade of odds on to get the job done.
Excellent. So we've got Wolves, Eastleigh, or draw, double chance, and Bradford. Dan, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jack.
Yeah, great to hear from Dan Charles, as always. We'll kick Mark's best bets off this weekend with a bet builder. We had a winner last week at a nice price, Mark. We'll try and do the same again this time around.
Yeah, I think it was 9-2. It was Salah to have over 1.5 shots on target. I mean, I don't know how many he had in the end. I don't know how many Liverpool had. But Dubravka was overworked, wasn't he? Guimaraes got booked and Liverpool won by more than one goal. So I wasn't one of those complaining at the Jota penalty that was given. This week, we're heading to the Friday night game, hopefully for a Friday night winners. It's Tottenham against Burnley. I'm going to go for 3 players to have a shot on target. I think it's going to be like a wide open game, Spurs v Burnley. I've already said over 3.5 goals, but Kulusevski to have a shot on target. He's had a shot on target in 5 of his last 7 games. Richarlison to have a shot on target. He's had one or at least one in 4 of his last 5 games. And my favourite one from the Burnley perspective, this point of view, is Amdouni to have a shot on target. He's had at least one effort on target in 6 of his last 8 games. Comes out at around about 11-4, 3-1. So yeah, Kulusevski, Richarlison and Amdouni all to have a shot on target.
A 9-2 winner last week. We'll try to follow that up again this time round. Next up, Mark, we'll have a treble for this week's action.
Yeah, so Coventry to beat Oxford. Coventry were in the treble last week, let it down, conceded a last-minute goal against Swansea, but then they came out from that, thumped Middlesbrough, and generally speaking, over the last couple of months, seems to be playing well, winning games, and they're playing a team from the division below them. Another team that's got a team division below them is Newcastle, so I'm going for them to beat Sunderland. I know it's a derby, but I do think that there still is a fair sort of chunk of a class difference between the two teams. Also wonder, Sunderland, a lot of young players, just how they'll be able to kind of cope with that derby atmosphere. Newcastle, you know, they do play big games every week. They've been in the Champions League, you know, played San Siro, Parc des Princes, away to Borussia Dortmund this season. So they should be more experienced and sort of used to the occasion. And then wrapping it all up, Bournemouth to beat QPR. Bournemouth won 6 of their last 8 in the Premier League. The 2 they didn't win. They were the better side against Aston Villa, got pegged back late on. And then I thought they played very well at Tottenham as well. So that comes in at about 7-2. Coventry, Newcastle and Bournemouth.
Yeah, liking the sound of that. Let's end things off, Mark, with your best bet. What's the nap?
Yeah, Kulusevski to have a shot on target in Tottenham against Burnley, round about 4-6. There were 15 shots on target when the two teams met at Turf Moor earlier on in the season. I expect something similar, really, between sides that like to attack. And Kulusevski, he's had at least one shot on target in 5 of his last 7 games. With Son away at the Asian Cup, I'm expecting him to move from midfield back into that forward line. And, you know, he spoke actually after that game against Nottingham Forest when he scored about taking more responsibility and shooting more. So hopefully he takes his own advice. And I'm sitting very close to the front row, actually, standing very close to the front row. So I might even give him a little shout out to make sure he keeps his shots up if he's not sort of early on. So yeah, we'll have that in our favour as well.
I do like these kind of early round FA Cup ties. Obviously, we're playing a team that we wouldn't usually play in, Bristol Rovers. I don't sit in my usual season ticket seat for these, so I get to move about the stadium a little bit. It's all a bit different and exciting.
Yeah, I don't think Burnley are taking that many. Understandably, you know, it's a Friday night game, it's on TV. So I'm actually in the standing bit where the away fans normally stand. So it's probably about the only area I haven't been in yet in the Tottenham Stadium. So I'm actually looking forward to that sort of Posse and seeing what that's all about. I actually think if you're looking for an underdog, you know, everyone likes to look for a sort of third round upset. Bristol Rovers might be one to consider. I'm not saying that to rub you up the wrong way, Jack. I actually think that, you know, that there's Norwich would be vulnerable, I think, in this kind of cup tie. You know, pressure's still on the manager. They're not sort of scoring that many goals, not winning that many home games, are they? So I thought Bristol Rovers might be one to look at. The other one might be Bolton at Luton, who I think, you know, staying up is everything to them. If they make wholesale changes, might be an opportunity for Bolton.
I would say don't listen to him, but we are prone to a third round exit. Any New Year's resolutions for your good self?
The only New Year's resolution is to not have New Year's resolutions. It's another day. You know, if you want to make changes in your life, you can do it in January, you know, March, September. It doesn't matter, you know, just, treat it like any other day, any other month.
Very high.
But good luck to you, Jack. I know you're running 5K every day in January. It's a great effort.
Thanks very much, Mark. We'll be back again next week for another episode of Mark Langdon's Bets Club. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you are backing any of the selections, please remember to do so with money that you can afford to lose. Enjoy the action, and we'll see you all again very soon. Bye-bye.